Ira, let's keep it raw. Let's keep it real. What do Bucks fans need to know about Bill Curry Ford, 1 mile north of Raymond James Stadium?
You've heard us talk a lot about Sean Sullivan, and that really is the key. Besides being a football guru, and nobody knows the draft like Sean Sullivan, he's in my fantasy league, and I'm driving, of course, my cherry red Ford Escape. But here's the point. We talk a lot in these podcasts about the personal service with Sean Sullivan, asked for the Ira Kaufman discount. We're not fooling around here. How many dealerships have you ever gone to in your life, no matter what brand of car, where you're dealing directly with the general manager? It doesn't happen. Usually the guy's behind a glass booth. You can't get to him. You got to go through the salesman, then you go through the sales manager. You never really deal directly with the general manager. And that's not the case with Bill Curry Ford. That's what makes it so special. Sean Sullivan makes himself available. And it's not just to close the deal. He's there all the time. He spends more time there than he does in his house. And he's so accommodating. He's so knowledgeable. And he's so flexible. He will get you the vehicle you want. You'll be very happy with the experience. He's not a hard sell. He's not all over you. But he's there for you. And I can speak from personal experience. When you're done with Bill Curry Ford, you will be very, very pleased with the entire experience. And odds are, you will make a deal with Sean Sullivan, and you'll be very happy that you did.
Ira, Bucks fans are drinking Big Storm beer all over the Tampa Bay area, Orlando, all across the state and beyond. And they're loving it. They're loving the Bromosa, the Bay Beer, all the great core beers, the Wavemaker Amber Ale. Now it's at Publix, and BigStormBrewery.com is where the home of the Storm Tracker is, and that's where you punch in your zip code to find out where Big Storm is on sale near you. We love it at Big Storm. The Clearwater Tap Room is where you watch every Bucks road game. Ira, Halloween is the next one coming up. Bucks Saints 4:25 start. Are you going to be in costume, Ira?
I think I'm going to wear the costume of a sports writer, and nobody's going to recognize me, but I am going to be there. I'm not going to have an upset stomach this time, so I'm going to go through that menu like a blitzkrieg. I'm going back to my Bay Beer or maybe Kolsch. Looking forward to seeing a lot of our Buck friends, a lot of Joe Buck fan listeners and readers that day on Halloween. Steve, and I said it before, Steve, and I think it's worth repeating. Big Storm is poised to take over the craft beer industry in the Bay Area, if not beyond. They've got the goods to back it up, and this is just the beginning. They're in Publix now. They're not going to stop. Remember the old Al Davis, we want to dominate? Well, that's Big Storm, and they got the goods. So my advice to all listeners and readers, give them a try. They're at various locations. There's going to be more down the road. Big Storm Brewing, and you're going to be very happy you tried it.
Ira, I'm very scared if Big Storm is giving away candy that day, which I'm sure they will be to neighborhood children, although they are on 49th Street. There's not a lot of trick-or-treating there. You're going to be mauling that candy. I think the over-under on the mini Snickers is 6.5.
Absolutely. And, Steve, I've also got gift certificates to give out that day. I like the look on people's faces when I approach their table. Of course, at first, there's a lot of trepidation to see the sage come close to their table. But then, you know, I come armed with gift cards, Steve. And the fear gives way to a smile.
Buccaneers fans fired up for going 6-1, hopefully on Sunday. This is the Ira Kaufman Podcast, starring the sage of Tampa Bay sports, the baron of Big Storm beer, Mr. Bill Curry Ford, the king of Newport Richie, Uncle Ira, the custodian of Canton. Man, Ira Kaufman is in the house. Sage, we already heard about Bill Curry Ford. Man, they support everything the Sage does at JoeBucksFan.com. GM Sean Sullivan is waiting for you. He wants to help you in any possible way. Email, phone, at the dealership, BillCurryFord.com. Ira, how are you today?
Wednesday afternoon. I happen to mention to Chris Russo about the Bucks schedule. And, of course, he's got a million things going on in his mind, and he's not focused on the 2021 Bucks schedule. And he called it up during our weekly conversation. He almost dropped the phone, Steve. He goes, what a candy-ass schedule. This is weak. Now, Dallas, you know, the opener, Dallas turned out to be a little better than we thought. They played the Rams. They were outplayed, and they lost. But, Steve, this stretch, and this stretch of quarterbacks, kind of what I'm saying is, maybe we're reading too much into this. And, Lee, I'll throw out an early nugget, and I didn't know this till today. I had to look it up. I believe I'm correct. Lee, they've never been 6-1. They've never been 6-1. This franchise started in 1976, Mr. DeKemper. That happens to be the year I started my journalism career as a little sports agate clerk at United Press International in New York. I think I was making $140 a week. Very similar to what you guys are paying me. Very similar. So I'm kind of back where I started. But they're 5-1. But who have they beaten besides Dallas? Who the heck have they beaten? Atlanta. Well, I know what you're going to say, Lee. They've beaten the teams on their schedule. But, Lee, you don't normally see a defending Super Bowl champ with a candy-ass slate like this one. And it ain't going to get any worse. You know, New Orleans is okay, and then you got Washington and the Giants. Lee, it's one after the other until Buffalo rolls into town, and that's not till December.
Why is this an issue?
Lee, in terms of, like, trying to evaluate the 2021 Bucks, you'd say 5-1, gee, heck of a team, this and that. They're an NFC power. But, Lee, when you look at the strength of schedule and who they've beaten, it's tough to get a gauge on them.
I don't give a damn. They're winning. That's all I give a damn about. They're winning. If Steve Dumick, bless his heart, if he is somehow hearing this conversation, he's freaking out. What's wrong with you, Ira? Can't we come up with something relevant to talk about? Like, oh my God, this schedule's so easy. I wish the Bucks were playing the Steelers and the Packers and the Raiders. Yeah. This awful cupcake schedule might get the Bucks a freaking home field advantage. Why is this a bad thing? Come on, Ira.
You know, I always have some kind of a second reason for saying what I say. The reason I started that podcast, Steve, like this, is to get Lee DeKemper up and running right away and get his juices flowing. And so in that regard, mission accomplished, Isbits. I guess my point is you're not facing Jalen Hurts and Justin Fields every week. You can't do it.
You pull any Bucks fan at the game Sunday and ask them, is this an awful thing that the Bucks are playing cupcakes? Going, well, what the hell's wrong with you?
Lee, I heard that you were at one Buck place, so I expect, and I know you're a hard-hitting newsman, so when you got Todd Bowles in front of you and you're behind that rope, I'm sure that you said to Todd Bowles, you have to be appalled at your secondary statistics while you're playing the likes of Jalen Hurts, you know, a rookie from New England. And I'm sure you said that, right, Kemper? I'm sure you did.
No, but I did ask him about Devin White's numbers.
Well, Devin White's numbers are scaring me a little bit, Lee. What'd he say?
Well, I asked him, I said, is this just because teams are trying to avoid him, or are you using him differently to make up for all the injuries, and thus he's not in a position to make an impact like he had last year? And he said, oh, basically all of the above. Bull said, he's doing what we're asking him to do, and we're happy with it. You know, I didn't expect him to, you know, ridicule him or anything, but what he said makes logical sense.
And Steve, you know, just in terms of Pro Bowl or All Pro, and we had a lot of hopes for Devin White, and, you know, look, there's still 11 games remaining, a lot can change. But Steve, the bare facts are, you know, the tackles for losses, the splash plays, the blitzes, the sacks. That's what, you know, AP voters are going to focus on. And in Lee's words, who cares? Who cares as long as the Bucks are winning? I said it before you did, DeKemper.
Yeah, well, I would like to see him get a Pro Bowl nod and all. I would like to see that, but I think even you, Ira, know there's bigger fish to fry.
Absolutely.
Sage, I'm not really sure I even agree with your whole premise of the cupcake schedule. You know, is it really that much worse than other schedules out there? Yeah, I get that the Bucks got the NFC East and they got the AFC East, so they caught a break. But we knew that before the season, and I don't think the Saints are a cupcake. They still have them twice. Indianapolis is way better than their record. That's going to be a very tough game later in the season. Quentin Nelson is supposed to be back in a week or so. The Saints just got a bunch of guys back off injured reserve. Today's news is that Michael Thomas will probably be back in a couple of weeks. You know, the Falcons haven't been that bad. They still have to go there later. They got the Bills at home. And if Carolina's defense continues to, they didn't play as well the other last week, but if they continue to rush the passer, those are a couple of scary games on different levels late in the season. So I don't know. I don't think it's that cupcake overall. But this Sunday, the Bucs get just a perfect tonic of a struggling quarterback. It's like the Eagles, and now, you know, Robert Quinn of the Bears is on the COVID list. He's one their top edge rusher, along with Khalil Mack, who's banged up. He's missed practices this week and last week. Allen Robinson banged up, missed practice. Bears didn't look that great last week. You know, they're just it's just a perfect scenario for the Bucs to keep cruising. And they may just get to what you predicted, Ira, which is through that bye week, through Halloween, 7-1. And then if you get a flood of players back after the bye week, the train could keep on going.
I'll give you some props here. I guess one negative about having a cupcake schedule is that you may not be primed when you face a really tough team.
Maybe, but I'm with you. I'd rather have the home field late. I'd rather have the top seed, which right now belongs to Arizona, and I'm starting to believe in the Cardinals. They may not be a fluke, a big statement. Now, they collapsed last year late. They were terrible down the stretch. Kyler Murray went into the tank, but he's a year older, a year wiser. He's probably the leading MVP candidate, Lee, as we speak. You know, Matt Nagy's he's in trouble. This is year four. He hasn't done much there. But, Lee, to be fair, they're 3-3. That's not a shabby job by Matt Nagy. They beat the Raiders badly, Lee, a couple of weeks ago. Now, that was during the Gruden fiasco. I understand that. And it was one hell of a distraction from a Raider point of view. But, Lee, the fact is, the Raiders have played some good football this year. And I believe the game was in Vegas, and the Bears have kicked their ass. You know, you got to say that. But to Steve's point, Lee, Justin Fields, Lee, the guy's completing 53-54% of his passes in this day and age with the rules of football. That's atrocious, Lee. That's absolutely atrocious.
He seems like a dangerous quarterback, though. He's mobile. He's got a gun for an arm, absolute gun for an arm. Like Jalen Hurts with more of a cannon for an arm.
Yeah, that might be me. And Allen Robinson, Steve, he's a legit receiver. I mean, if they had anybody, you know, if they had somebody better than Mitch Trubisky the last few years.
Ira, come on. I cannot play games like this. The most they scored this year was 24 points against the Lions. That's a horrible day for the Bucs. 24 points at home. It's a miracle when Chicago scores 20 points. Now, this game's a joke, Ira.
You're not wrong, Steve. I mean, they score 16 points a game, and the Bucs score 32, 33 a game. I mean, that's double. Absolute double. They're last in the league in total offense. Number 32, their forte is running the ball, which they're not great at, but they're better than the throwing the ball. Lee, they got three touchdown passes as a team. Three. I mean, that's a good quarter for Brady. They got three touchdown passes.
This would have been a great game for Richard Sherman to still be playing. He wouldn't have gotten worked over again.
You're right, Steve. I mean, that's why they're 12.5-point favorites. I mean, there's a reason. So, I mean, that's a big spread by any standard. Even Derek Brooks, who's generally a cautious man, says they should win this game going away. Style points, which we thought they were going to have against Philly. But, Lee, the fact is, they really haven't played a complete game, Lee, and Buck fans are still waiting for it. I know I am.
That's a fair point. You could argue the closest the game was Philly. Only because the defense did so well.
But Lee, it got a little hairy at the end.
Yeah, I kind of think they took the foot off the gas pedal.
They were up 28-7 and then, you know, just sort of fell apart against a lesser team. Yeah, they did enough, and obviously they could have scored late. But, yeah, they've always had a pocket in every game of what are you doing? You know, you're playing down to the competition or you're just not playing that well. You know, hopefully this is the week where they get rid of that, because they could easily win here 45-21 and play that complete game against, you know, a team that's not garbage, but they've got some problems. I've got to ask you this, because it was too funny when I heard it. I had to hit rewind a couple of times. I just had to imagine general manager Jason Light sitting back in his chair, enjoying his phenomenal record of winning 13 out of 14 and the depth that he's built with this roster and his offensive line that has his name and stamp all over it. And there's Bruce Arians on Colin Coward's podcast. He's talking about how much fun he has being part of the NFL draft process. He used to hate the draft, but he says, now I love the draft. And Coward asks him, well, why'd you hate the draft? And he said, well, as an assistant coach, I had no control. And then he says, you know, you get your say, and then they tell you to get out of here. He said, but now it's so much fun. And if I ever retired, that's something I'd really miss. And he talked about how Light works with the coaching staff and sort of lays out choices for Arians. And it was just pretty funny for him basically saying how much he loves his control when it comes to the NFL draft. What do you make of that, the context? And obviously it sure sounds like Arians, again, is saying that he'd love to, you know, pass the baton to one of his assistants and stick around one buck in some sort of role. Maybe it's just, you know, an off-season personnel kind of thing, watching film and looking at guys.
I'm a little surprised, Steve, and I'll tell you why. I just think Arians' forte is, as a teacher, as a motivator, having his finger on the pulse of the team. He's very good at that kind of stuff. And Lee, I don't see necessarily a track record of a personnel guru. I don't see it. They drafted okay in Arizona. Not great. I know he had a great relationship with Steve Keim. I find it very difficult to believe that Bruce Arians was pounding on a table for Joe Tryon and the guy that put Joe Tryon on the map for the Bucs. I don't believe that, Lee. I just don't. Or Antoine Winfield. I'm just not seeing that, Lee. So I know what Arians is saying, Lee, but I just think his acumen is in the coaching field as an overviewer, keeping his finger in all pies. I don't see him as the personnel expert, Lee, at this point.
Well, didn't Jason Light joke one time in one of his media availabilities the last year or so that if it was up to Arians, they would have drafted Tyler Johnson in the second round? They wanted him so bad. I know Steve's written about this. If Arians has claimed that he had some degree of control with the draft in Arizona, it's not something he wants to brag about.
Yeah.
This past year, jury's still out on the draft class. I like Joe Tryon, but, you know, it might be a little premature to crown him, to paraphrase Denny Green.
Right.
Obviously, last year, the draft class last year is ridiculous. Whoever was in charge, I don't care, but salute, because you did a hell of a job. Whoever, and we may never know, but I'm happy with the initial results of Arians drafting or Light drafting, again, whoever you think was pulling the trigger. Whoever that was last year, way to go. Way to go.
Absolutely. And Steve, you know, to Lee's point, those last couple of years out in the desert, they didn't draft well. That was a big contributor, as it did not end well for Mr. Arians in Arizona.
Ira, I don't know if you ever saw the All Access. It's basically a Hard Knocks that lasts the entire year. The NFL Films All Access to the Cardinals back then. They were going to draft, I can't think of his name, a guy from Nebraska, running back from Nebraska, and Keim almost fainted. They thought it was a done deal. They were on the phone with him. Hey, you know, this next draft pick's coming up. It's our draft pick. What? Who's calling you? And it was the team who was drafting right before Arizona picked him. And it completely took Keim by surprise. He turned white. He couldn't believe it. He starts cussing under his breath. And, you know, they had the guy all locked up. Because of that, the Cardinals decided to get David Johnson in the third round. And in that war room, in that draft room, Arians was telling Michael Bidwell, well, this guy, this Johnson, I really like him. We could probably get him in the third round. He went into detail why he liked him. And he kind of sold Bidwell on him. And that was very intriguing. So they really lucked into Johnson. Abdul Muhammad, is that the guy's name?
I think his last name was Abdullah. Steve, you know what I picture Arians post head coach? I could see him being a Tom Moore type, a consultant that has value, Steve, to bounce ideas off and has the respect of your fellow coaches and the players. Steve, I don't necessarily see him in the personnel department, Steve.
I know what you're saying, Ira. I don't even see that. I mean, Tom Moore, from what I'm told, is in at 5:30 in the morning. I was told that he was the last guy they had to kick out when the COVID kicked in and they evacuated the building. Moore didn't want to leave. And Arians already is, hey, I'm coming in late. I'm leaving early. I'm not saying he doesn't bust his ass and work hard. I just don't see him as a daily coach capacity guy. But yeah, like you guys sort of hinted at, you never really know the truth behind any pick. You know, sometimes you get a glimpse, sometimes you don't. But Arians knows his scorecard, and maybe he feels he's getting better at it. Obviously, he's had more experience in the last, because he's only been coaching 10 years. It's not like he's some 25-year head coach, and they get more into the personnel stuff when they're in that role. Ira, it's clear as it can be, if you have a flood in your house, if you find mold, if you have a disaster, a fire, storm damage, you call Florida's Elite Restoration 24/7. And they give you a free assessment inside your property so you know what the heck's going on to find out if what they can repair and fix immediately. They're going to work with your insurance company so you don't get ripped off. And it's your peace of mind in your greatest hour of need. Owner Josh Martin of Florida's Elite Restoration, he's got 14 years experience on the other side as an insurance adjuster. So he knows exactly what's going on. He knows how to prevent you from getting screwed by your insurance company. And it's really important. And of course, he also works with the great property managers across the Tampa Bay area, plumbers, air conditioning repair folks who are always in need of disaster services because they find all kinds of problems. It's peace of mind, Ira. I know you have it.
They know what they're doing over there, Steve, at Florida's Elite Restoration. Josh Martin's got a good group. We know these people. We know people that have used them. So this is not just you know, some kind of a promotion and we don't really know anything about the company. It's not like that. Now, Steve, we got through hurricane season, basically, and the rainy season is behind us. But, Steve, that doesn't mean you're not going to have a potential mold problem in your residence, because you can get a leak at any time. At any time, garage, in your kitchen, in the bathroom. And when that happens, you face potential water damage, mold issues. You got to call Florida's Elite Restoration. That should be your first call before your insurance. They'll come out, Josh Martin and his group, and you'll get an honest assessment. You can't just let it go. Florida's Elite Restoration has to be your first phone call.
And sometimes the toilet overflows after a busy day of beer drinking and tropical salads and Snickers and Bucks football. It gets a little crazy. Everything can happen. A couple of nuggets that came out of the Colin Coward interview, Sage, that were a little bit interesting. One was that, and I had never heard this before, Arians was talking about how he got the Bucks job and how that process went. He explained that, you know, when he got the second cancer diagnosis in Arizona, that really pushed him over the edge to get out of football, although he recovered and then was like, well, gosh, I feel great and maybe I should get back. And we remember that it was November of 2018 when he sort of injected himself into the Browns' potential job. But he said on the podcast that it was his son who said, hey, man, call Jason. Call Jason. He's got a good young roster there. And just call Jason. I think that could work. I hadn't heard that before. Maybe you guys had. But Arians basically put it out there as, well, my son said call Jason. And so I called him.
You know, Jake Arians, I've been around him enough to know, He has a lot of influence with his dad, and they're very close. Lee, I've always been under the impression that the impetus came from one Buck place, Jason Light in particular, making the overture to Bruce Arians once it was kind of decided that Cutter wasn't coming back. Lee, I always looked at it certainly from that direction. It's interesting that Arians would say that maybe the Arians camp was the first one to reach out. One thing we know for sure, he really wasn't enjoying his time in the broadcast booth. He thought he would like it a lot better than he did, and it proved to him how much he missed coaching. So let's put it like this, Lee. There was a lot of mutual interest between Jason Light and Bruce Arians. In the overview, both guys kind of saved the other. Arians, I think, saved Light's job, in my opinion. And Light really saved Arians from a post-career of drudgery, because I really don't think he was enjoying that booth very much. And it's been a hell of a marriage. And, of course, throwing Tom Brady on top of everything, Lee, that's why they're hoisting the trophy.
Yeah, and honestly, who saw that coming? Not Arians, not Light. I had heard it was Light who first picked up the phone call. Now, Steve, I haven't heard this podcast. Did Arians say he picked up the phone call of Light first?
No, he didn't say that. He just said he was talking about how this came about, and he said, my son told me, call Jason. He's got the good young roster, and he credited his son with sort of sparking it.
Okay, but yeah, so for all we know, Arians never called Light based on that.
Yeah, we have no idea exactly if he
with Light and Arians, Light resurrected Arians' legacy.
Yes.
Because yes. Arians would have been forever known as, hey, he was a good coordinator, okay coach. Now, Hall of Fame's in the ballpark. You know, he wins another Super Bowl. That will make only two coaches who won back-to-back Super Bowls that aren't in the Hall of Fame. Obviously, Arians is not eligible because he's still active. The other guy is Mike Shanahan, and I don't think anybody believes Mike Shanahan someday won't be in the Hall of Fame.
Good points, Lee. Good points. Guys, I remember an NFL owners meeting, and it was probably at the Arizona Biltmore, and Light had just gotten the Bucs GM job. And I remember breaking away from maybe Lovie Smith roundtable and walking over to where Bruce Arians was holding court as head coach of the Cardinals. That was about, you know, after about 40 minutes, and most of the Arizona writers had already asked their questions, and I found a seat, and I asked Arians what the Bucs were getting with Jason Light. He couldn't stop talking about it, Lee. They had worked together briefly in Arizona, and he talked about how well Light is going to work with the head coach. It's going to be a smooth transition, and the communication skills and his personnel skills. And you know, it's funny, Lee, 5 years later, they reunite in Tampa, go through a tough first year with Jameis and the 7-9 record. And nobody was looking at Bruce Arians, Lee, to be fair, as a Hall of Fame coach at that point. Certainly not.
No.
Certainly not. Because that was 3 years in a row, Lee, that he couldn't climb above 500 his last 3 years.
People wonder about his credibility, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, Lee, need we say it again? Tom Brady changes everything. Every damn thing.
I brought this up with someone today. And it was Pat Kerwin that first said it. I'm pretty confident I've said this on your podcast. And I know some people don't hear every one of your podcasts. I know it's a sacrilege to admit that. But some people, believe it or not, they don't listen to every podcast. So I don't mind repeating this. And I'll ask you this question rhetorically, Ira. Pat Kerwin on his show, SiriusXM NFL Radio, Moving the Chains, Pat Kerwin asked, and there's really no answer that you could put, a definitive answer, but Pat Kerwin asked, how much money Tom Brady has made people in Tampa Bay?
Wow, what a great question. What a great question.
And it's not just football, it's just ancillary as well.
I don't know if you want to start, Lee, I don't know if you want to start with the Glazers, yep. Jason Light or Bruce Arians. I mean,
Can I give
Arians,
her?
You name it.
I got to give a rant on the Glazers here. You know, they are milking this to the extreme. It's almost disgusting on some level, yet, although I appreciate it. I mean, you listen to their radio network, and literally, you'll hear a commercial in the same show for Beef O'Brady's, Hooters, and Wing House. You'll hear a commercial for all three in the same show, and then they'll simulcast the same show. They'll put the exact same show that has major sponsors on it, and they'll put it on YouTube, and then it's got a different sponsor and a different name, the exact same show, and it's got a sponsor of Mercedes-Benz, while meanwhile, of course, anybody who pays attention to the Bucks knows that Ford, including Bill Curry Ford, is a major sponsor. And it just goes on and on. They just signed Checkers as the official fast food partner with Rally's. It's like Tom Brady, you know, they're sitting there pitching, you know, play 60 and stay healthy and all this stuff. And they're pouring on a new fast food sponsor. It just never ends. the endless list, and there's no shame in their game, and they're just making a fortune off Brady.
No question. And Lee, nobody ever said that the Glazers don't know how to monetize. And Lee, it stretches overseas. It stretches across the Atlantic. They sign
a national superstar, yeah.
They sign a superstar named Ronaldo, one of the great players of the modern era. He's a striker. He's sort of like the Patrick Mahomes of soccer in terms of excitement, getting you over the top. So my point is, Steve, the day they signed him, and he's making a lot of money, and the Glazers didn't think twice about signing him. They made it up in merchandising. You know, they want endorsements, merchandising. They know what they're doing. They're kind of infatuated with the big star. They are. And there's nothing wrong with it, Lee, because you can make a lot of money off those people.
The Bears fans just happen to be listening to this, in all three or four of them, and they're coming down for the game. Go to Clearwater Beach. You'll see some strikers.
And speaking of the Bears, Steve, you haven't read my column yet, but when you do, Steve, and it's one hell of a list. You're not going to believe it. The quarterbacks that the Chicago Bears have trudged out there since 1989, when Jim McMahon was traded to the Chargers. And, Lee, the list is endless, and it is unbelievably undistinguished. What garbage they've thrown out there under center. Unbelievable.
You know, I never knew that McMahon was traded. I thought he was released.
They traded him to the Chargers.
You know, he was, I thought, very underrated. He was brittle as, you know, he was brittle as a porcelain dish. But he played in a prehistoric offense of Greg Landry, and he did well. And I thought he was so underrated. I mean, he was tough as nails, even though he was brittle.
I'm kind of with you, Lee. Now, look, he, you know, his ball didn't float, zing through the air like Tom Brady. But he had all the intangibles, Steve. He had the intangibles in terms of leadership. And when you have that, it goes a long, long way. And they haven't been able to, they really haven't been able to replace it in one of the iconic NFL franchises, Steve, over a long period of time.
Ira, I just wanted to get your feelings. I felt like it was always a ridiculous joke that Ronald Jones would be on the trade block because it's a COVID year. Why would you trade your depth when anything can happen? We saw Rojo bust his thumb and get COVID last season. And, you know, you just, why would you do that for no reason when they're all about all in this year? So I don't think it was ever real. I believe that teams would be calling. Absolutely. Rojo put it on film last year, and it's not like he's running soft this year for the little carries he got. But do you think that there's any teeth to that at all?
No, I'm totally with you on that, Steve, because as Lee says on every podcast, all in, it's all about 2021, and anything can happen to a Leonard Fournette, sprained knee, high ankle sprain, out 6 weeks. You know, we don't know about a second-year player, hasn't proven anything. That's one hell of an insurance policy, Lee, having Ronald Jones there. Now, he's in the rearview mirror. It's not anything that Ronald Jones did terribly, Lee, but Fournette's playing at a great level. And God bless him. He looks great. That's three outstanding games in a row by Fournette. They're gaining tremendous confidence in him. Why not? He looks like that same running back from a few years ago that was outstanding in Jacksonville. Right now, he's durable, Lee, but you never know.
John Pelissero had that report on NFL Network. I love how him and Rappaport does the same thing in Rappaport. I love how they word things when there's nothing going on. This is obviously, let's drum up the story. But I love how they word it. Like Pelissero, he worded it, teams are monitoring Ronald Jones. No kidding. They monitor all players.
You're right, Lee. And those are the stories that get published on a Tuesday, on a slow Tuesday in the NFL, and they got to come up with something. Teams are monitoring Ronald Jones. I don't think the Bucs Dallas can afford to trade him because you never know what's going to happen. And they got to maximize their chances under Brady as long as he's there. And you never know. Jones could be a big piece of the puzzle come December. He could be.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, Steve pointed it out as well. You know, they saw firsthand what a good backup running back, how that will help him with Leonard Fournette last year when Rojo got COVID. So, you know, why would they? And last, the only way I could have seen it happening is if Keyshawn Vaughn was going wild in practice, which we're not allowed to watch practice except for when they warm up. And by the way, I told someone with the Bucks today about I don't get anything out of watching guys warm up. I got a couple of really ugly looks, and not from the Bucks. Got a couple of ugly looks from your colleagues, Ira. They overheard me saying that.
Good for you, Lee. I'm with you.
All right, Ira, look, we have to get to the picks. And we have to remind everybody, Bill Curry Ford presents the podcast. Bill Curry Ford, GM Sean Sullivan, host of the Best in Class podcast every late Tuesday or Wednesday here at JoeBucksFan.com, where Sean dives into first and second year players and how they're doing with a little Buck stuff thrown in, but a different kind of look at the NFL. And fans can go to a Bucks game with Sean Sullivan, Ira. They can get into the Bill Curry Ford suite on the 40-yard line, open air, but air-conditioned as well. Free food, free drinks, hanging out with Sean Sullivan. Here's what you got to do. You just go test drive a vehicle at Bill Curry Ford this month. Let them know that you're into the Sean Sullivan test drive situation here, competition, contest, whatever you want to call it. They'll take your info. They'll put your name in the hat. And early November, they're going to draw a winner, and you'll get to pick your game. As Sean said, it's flexible. He'll work with you just like he works with everybody on vehicles. But if you want to sit in a suite with Bill Curry Ford and talk football and just stuff your face and have a great time, the opportunity's there. Bill Curry Ford, test drive today. Sage, I'm just going to put it on the line here. Antonio Brown's got a sprained ankle. O.J. Howard's got a sprained ankle. I don't know which, if it's connected to his bad Achilles or not. But guys are practicing, guys are not practicing. Lavonte David's, we don't know what's going to happen. I don't think any of it matters this Sunday against the Bears. I think the offense is firing too well. It's too versatile. It's still better than most offenses in the NFL, even if it's got injured guys between the line and the running game and the different weapons that are available. I don't think the Bears are going to put up much with their injuries and their COVID situation. I think this is the game that they put it together, Ira. Bucks 42, Bears 17. And I'm going to say that that Devin White gets his first tackle for loss of the season.
Lee, I learned my lesson last week, and I even put it out on Twitter at halftime. What was I thinking? Because I picked the Eagles, Lee. Short week going on the road. Brady's right thumb, which turned out to be no factor. Lee, this is a bad matchup for the Bears. I mean, it's bad, Lee. They like to run the ball. Nobody runs on the Bucs. They can't throw the ball. That's where the Bucs are vulnerable. Chicago's defense is okay, Lee. Khalil Mack, I think Tristan Wirfs has been waiting for him for more than a year. I think he's going to hold his own. Brady will have a big day. Fournette will run well. Lee, Bucs are 12.5-point favorites for a reason. They didn't cover the spread last week, Lee. They didn't.
I think
you know, on Sunday they do. The Bucks 33-14, Lee.
All these nagging injuries the Bucks have spooked me. I think it's going to be a close game. I really do. I think the offensive Knicks are going to catch up with them. I'm not saying they're going to lose, but the Bears will cover. Does that sound right? The Bucks won't cover. Let's put it that way. The Bucks won't cover. And I will put my money where my mouth is, but I want the Bucks to win. That never changes. And I think the Bucks win by 6.
Okay.
Now, the score, 26-20.
Okay. 26-20. Interesting, Ira. Now, just for fun, Ira, you lost your fantasy matchup last week by 0.06 points, which is tough to do. That's kind of like 1 yard.
I think it was 1 yard. 1 yard.
Yes, 1 yard.
Ira, are you okay? Are you doing all right? You hanging in there in last place?
Well, I'm watching the Monday night game. Lee, I need Stephon Diggs to get 15 points. And Lee, he got 14.9. So I lost to Dave Worth. Good old Dave Worth, good man. And as Steve loves to point out, I'm 2-4 in a league that I am leading a 12-team league. I've scored the most points in the league, Lee, and I'm 2-4. That's hard to do.
Ira, I know you are heading out to the stadium, the Lighthouse, the stadium on Del Mabry Highway for Sunday's game to talk to Tony Romo and harass other types out there. But afterwards, of course, you'll get home in time. You'll write your column, put your feet up, and watch some of the late game and Sunday night football drinking Big Storm beer, which fans can drink. Tweet at us your pictures of drinking Big Storm beer at Joe Bucks Fan or at iKaufman76, and we'll be happy to share them. And remember that first move, your first move is not to scream. Your first move is to go to Florida's EliteRestoration.com anytime you have a disaster in your home. Florida's EliteRestoration.com. Sage, the fans love you. They adore you on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Podcast Addict. You are the king out there, Sage. Say goodbye to everybody and give them some upside love here. Inspire with your final 20 seconds here, Ira.
Two quick things. The Bucks are about to go 6-1 for the first time in franchise history. So that's historic. And two, I want to thank all our listeners and readers for making Joe Bucks Fan the number one site for Buck information and conversation. Thanks very much.